good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board. Screen your calls at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. Again, want to extend thanks to our guest from the last half hour, retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson, a lifelong Republican, a career in the military for over 31 years, and he has joined a group of 700 other retired senior military officials who want to ensure that Donald Trump does not get back into the Oval Office. If you have a chance, if you missed it, after the show, we will post it. It will get posted at civicmedia.us. Just go to shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and you can listen back to it then. You can also listen to it as a podcast. If you have people in your circle, in your life, who have questions about why should the U.S. stay in NATO? Why is NATO important? Why should we be giving aid, military aid to Ukraine? I highly, highly encourage you to listen to that interview.
You can also go back to February 16th of this year and listen to the original interview with the retired general, because, and we're going to try to have him on again.
Yep.
And we're going to keep talking about NATO, and it's always going to be the same thing, but we're going to keep giving you information. It's important for America to stay in NATO. We reap rewards because of it, not just military, but financial and economic. And
NATO has a global impact.
Yes.
And our withdrawal from NATO would not be a good thing. And the U.S. withdrawal from NATO would be nothing but a big gift for Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Why some love him so much now, it remains baffling. And the other thing I want to say, and maybe we're talking out of turn a little bit, but we had asked Brigadier General Anderson what he wanted for his walk-up music before the segment started.
Yeah.
And he was the one who requested In a God of DeVita, which I just think is priceless.
Yeah. The Brigadier General loves the dirty hippie music.
He likes to rock out.
Who doesn't love to rock out?
He likes to rock out.
If you can see me on the live stream, of course I love to rock out.
Who doesn't like to rock out?
Who doesn't love to? Cal loves to rock out.
Absolutely. Coming up at 11:33, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be joining us. Brewers not going to play today. It was supposed to start at 11:30, and they got rained out. I'm sorry. And now that's been pushed back to a doubleheader in August.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, they pushed it way, way back. So no Brewers action today, but JR will be here to talk about what else is going on in sports. And I want to talk a little bit about the remarkable ratings that the women's NCAA games pulled in. It was impressive.
Women's sports rules, baby.
We had a request from someone on the text line asking for us to talk about the announcement this morning. This is from Ben in Richland Center.
Yes.
That Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is not going to run for re-election. We did mention that right when the show started, right after 10 o'clock. She has been on the court since 1995. She issued a statement today. She will leave the court at the end of her term in July of 2025. Quote, "My decision has not come lightly. It is made after careful consideration and reflection. I know I can do the job and do it well. I know I can win re-election should I run, but it's just time to pass the torch, bring fresh perspectives to the court," unquote. Now, this is after liberals just took control of the court with the election of Justice Protasiewicz last April.
I mean, I am not, when I say this, running for office is not easy. It takes a toll on you mentally, physically, and I imagine 73 years old, you're not where you were 20 years ago. And if you are, that's fine. I know some of our listeners climb mountains, but she witnessed what Janet had to go through. And I don't think that's very appetizing. Now, yes, does that mean we're once again back in the throes of a justice election? Yes, and that's not going to be fun. But I completely understand why. It's not like some of these other guys were like, well, I'm being redistricted, now I have to work.
Right. Wisconsin Court of Appeals Judge Chris Taylor confirming to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today she is considering a run for that position, and we'll have conversations about it in coming days. Taylor elected to the Madison-based District 4 Court in August of 2023. She served 3 years as a circuit court judge. Before that, 9 years in the state assembly before being elected to the legislature. She was policy director for Planned Parenthood. And Brad Schimmel, Waukesha County judge and former Republican attorney general, also plans to run for that spot in 2025.
Seems like he announced it like as the press release was hitting.
I think that was typed up and ready to go.
Yeah, right.
I just have that feeling. All right. So that's where we stand right now. We'll certainly keep watching this and keep you posted as more details become available. We're going to move on and talk about money.
Can I have some?
Sure.
Yay. In my head, I have money. If you were listening to earlier, we just have to think.
You just have to think and manifest it.
Yes, yes. Jane has a particular, she is now 5'11". What was it?
I'm 5'11", 120 pounds with red hair and emerald eyes because I think it shall be.
I won the presidential election. Calvin, what do you think you have and what do you have now? What is in your mind?
What would
greatness?
You like to manifest, Calvin?
Oh, boy. I don't even know. There's so much.
Pick something. Just whatever you want.
Well, I'll go in Jane's vein. I wish I was 6'3 and had big muscles.
You're tall?
I'm less than 6 foot. A lot of women don't consider that tall.
Well,
if that's the problem you're having, then you don't want to date those women.
Exactly.
If a woman won't date a man shorter than she is, then I need to sit down and have a discussion with her because that's a whole separate issue.
You know what? Never mind money. Welcome to new segment, Jane and Greg Get Calvin a Date. This will end miserably. All right. Yes, money.
Money. Let's talk about money. There was an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about the richest Wisconsinites, the 7 Wisconsinites who made it on Forbes' list of the 400 richest people in America. I don't think this is going to surprise anyone. John Menard Jr., the richest person in the state, the 33rd richest person on the Forbes list. The 83-year-old's estimated net worth, $22.5 billion.
The last time I ever heard about, like, I've always known he was rich. I always knew he was the richest man in Wisconsin. But the last time I heard about how much he had, he had $7 billion, and I was like, wow, that's very rich. And now I'm like, why does it keep growing that much?
He's doing very well.
Yeah, I know. He's a guy.
Diane Hendricks, co-founder of Beloit-based ABC Supply Roofing and Building Supplies, the 38th richest American on the list. Her estimated net worth, $19.3 billion. Earlier this year, she topped the Forbes list of the 100 richest self-made women in America for the 6th year in a row, and well done.
I want to know the parameters of self-made, and I'm not doubting her self-madeness. It's just a lot of times when we like to point at self-made, you can also find, oh, an inheritance. Oh, Papa's money. Oh, this or that. I'd like to know.
Out of curiosity.
Just like Van Wongard said, I got to get all the reports.
Right, right. Don't cherry pick.
No.
You don't want to cherry pick stuff. Epic System founder and CEO Judy Faulkner, worth over $7 billion, that is based in Verona. Well done to you. Global Food Corporation heir James Cargill II, estimated $5 billion. He's 224th on the Forbes list.
It's so weird how just like, how Diane Hendricks is worth 19 and she is up there. But when you hit to that like single digit, you're like 530th. Like, there's so many billionaires.
There are.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Our billionaire class has grown. They're doing very, very well. And they'll likely do even better.
Why is that?
Should former President Donald Trump get reelected. He was at a fancy schmancy fundraiser in Palm Beach, I believe it was last week, making some comments to the wealthy people there who he is soliciting donations from, even though all of 2015, he said he didn't need anybody else's money. But anyway, let's play this clip, Calvin, from the former president speaking to some wealthy donors.
Because you are all people that have a lot of money. I know 20 of you, and you're rich as hell. We're going to give you tax cuts. We're going to pay off our debt.
We're going to give you tax cuts, baby. You're all rich as hell. You need more tax cuts, and I'm going to give them to you. It's important to remember that when Trump was in office, the 2017 tax cut did cut income tax rates for most Americans, including the top earners and most lower income workers. However, most of those provisions are set to expire next year, including a break for owners of these pass-through businesses. Now, this is important. Pass-through businesses aren't taxed because the profits flow through the owners who are individually taxed. And Greg, hazard a guess on who likes these pass-through businesses.
Donald Trump?
Hedge funds, private equity partnerships, and privately held companies. The Nonpartisan Center for Budget and Policy Priorities estimates that extending the pass-through deduction would cost the government $700 billion in lost revenue in 10 years. They need that fourth yacht, Greg. Jeff Bezos has the biggest one. I can't out Bezos, so then I'm just going to get more.
He has a small yacht that takes him to his bigger yacht, which takes him to his mega yacht. And that begs the question, why do you think this man cares about you? I mean, he did go to a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta and buy everyone chicken and shakes. Man of the people.
Was it his own money?
No.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It's the money he's getting from donation emails and the RNC and NFTs and shoes and Bibles.
And just a reminder, the IRS has collected $520 million in taxes owed by millionaires since mid-2023 as it continues enforcing and focusing on high-income taxpayers, complex partnerships, and large corporations. The IRS is doing its job.
Yes.
And let's not forget who wanted to cut funding for the IRS to do their job.
Who tried to demonize the IRS? And before you call us, because we've talked about this topic before, these are not people, these are not IRS agents coming to your home, knocking on your door, and taking your money. These are people who have shirked their responsibilities as taxpayers.
Yes. All right. 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join us, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Storm, make a little rain, but I'm gonna do one better. Hide the sun until you pray. I'm a tornado.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. One comment from our friend Scott McKellen, who says, I'd listen to a Calvin matchmaking segment.
Oh, I would totally host that. I would host the living heck out of that. Calvin, I'd have you married in 90 days. We should make a show called 90 Days Calvin Fiancé.
Oh, well, we'll work on that.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jane, what if they want to listen to the show, but they don't have a radio available?
You can download the Civic Media app.
How much does that cost? Like $1,000? $2,000?
Even though it should be, it's absolutely free.
Free?
It is free. Go to wherever you get your apps. Download the Civic Media app. That gives you the opportunity to listen to all of the stations all across the network. We have 20 different stations across Wisconsin. So whether you're listening in Oshkosh on WISS or Green Bay, WGBW, LAK in
Amory.
Or even here in Waukesha, WAUK. And then you can call and text directly to those shows from the app. So that's pretty snappy.
And sometimes we respond to text messages. If there are certain questions, we can get to them. We'll talk to you directly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We did want to point out, this is really quite sad, actually. Yeah. Waukesha's Memorial Parade is not going to happen. A post on Waukesha Facebook page says the group Allied Veterans of Waukesha has decided not to hold the parade this year because of planning logistics and fewer veterans groups that are taking part. Patrick Craney, who organized it for the last 20 years, which is really a thankless job.
I can't
imagine. The
parade
organizers who have done this for all these years. Yeah. He's the chair of the Allied Veterans Council, says this year we just don't have the resources. We're disappointed. That is the reality of it. Instead, they're hoping that people will take part in casting flowers into the Fox River for men and women who died serving their country. For the Riverside ceremony, that will happen at Veterans Park and Cutler Park, 10 a.m. May 27th. The Memorial Day service with keynote speakers will be at Cutler Park at 11 a.m. that same day. And Craney says he hopes next year that they'll have the resources to bring it back. But it costs money to put those things on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm not going to drop some money. Like, these groups need help. We're for local businesses around the area. You know, whatever you can give. I mean, I know they can't do it this year, but next year, think about that. These groups run on donations and help from the community. We are part of the community. These individuals gave up their time, energy, and their lives to protect us and to uphold the best parts of this country. I know I'm sounding dramatic right now, but we just talked to Brigadier General retired Steve Anderson about NATO and the importance of upholding freedom. And those individuals who gave of their time and gave of their energy
and their lives,
they deserve that recognition. And so if we can't do it this year, which it sounds like we can't, and that's heartbreaking, next year, let's make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. One other reminder, depending upon where you are in the state, I know this is going to happen in Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
It is Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week, and today it's a statewide tornado drill.
Yeah.
So I know they're going to sound the sirens in Milwaukee County, I believe today at 1:45 and then at 6:45. Not every municipality is doing this, Greg Bach. I'm pretty sure I heard Stuart Waddles from Racine say that not in Kenosha County. I'm not exactly certain why that would be.
I live in Kenosha County.
I know you do. You should get on that. During today's drills, the Weather Service offices will be conducting NOAA weather radio tests, and some local media outlets may have the signal going across as well. Again, 1:45 and 6:45 today, they're going to be testing out those tornado sirens. And unfortunately, as we've seen weather continue to change, and tornadoes become, at least it seems like they're becoming more frequent. This is an opportunity for you to talk to your family members and especially your kids about where to go, what to do in the event of a tornado. Please tell them not to go outside and film it so they can get clicks.
No, agreed, agreed. Let's see here. Stuart J. Waddles just actually reached out to us.
Great.
Kenosha County tests sirens every third Saturday of the month. You'd think I'd know that by now. I've been there. I've been living there for many third Saturdays.
You've missed them all.
Thank you very much, Stuart, for that clarification on the matter. But yes, I absolutely agree. This is not a time to be cool and brave and blah, blah. It's not even brave to do it. Just get safe. Get down. If you have a basement, get in the basement. But yeah, have a plan.
Have a plan. And I think one of the most important things, too, to remind people of is it's the debris that's flying through the air that is really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly it can pick you up or drop a house on you, but it's the slats from fences and all of these things that can be turned into projectiles and spears.
A piece of dirt on the ground that's hard enough has become a multi-mile-an-hour projectile that can might not, you know, end you, but can hurt.
Definitely.
So just, get safe. Yeah. Get a plan.
Create an emergency plan. Practice it. Know where your designated shelters are at home, work, and school. During the drills, practice where you would go during a real tornado warning. Have multiple ways to get alerts and approaching severe weather alerts. If you have a mobile device, make sure it can get wireless emergency alerts. Stay weather aware. Check the forecast. And create an emergency kit for your home. We'll link this article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the show notes and get that up. It takes about an hour after the show to get things posted. Yeah. Real quickly.
What?
Laughing Tap.
Who?
Co-owner Greg Bach of The Laughing Tap, one of the laughiest comedy places in the Third Ward.
He's here now? Ugh.
Who's headlining this weekend?
Oh, that is the one and only Alex Kumin from New York. She has been on Comedy Central. She has been on Don't Tell Comedy. She is a magnificent voice actor. Very, very funny. She used to be a Chicago comic. Then she moved to New York and has been doing really well. And it's just biting and smart and funny. And if you want some message, but not too much, she does it perfectly. Oh, she's so funny. She's very, very funny.
She sounds good.
She's very, very good. Doesn't take guff from anybody, basically. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing her. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. I don't want to say pre-pandemic, but it's been a few years. Three shows. One tomorrow, Friday. Two Saturday. Tickets are available, laughingtap.com. $22.
In advance?
And then $25 at the door. No drink minimum. Intimate setting. Come on down. Have some fun.
Have some laughs.
The lineup actually is fantastic. The overall lineup. Cleveland Anderson, he is featuring. My good buddy, my sweet boy, Evan Hull, is hosting. So it's going to be a really great night of laughs. So come on down. And I'm always there at the front door.
Say hi.
Say hi to me. I'm the guy who looks older by the minute.
LaughingTap.com. Head over there and pick up your tickets for this weekend. LaughingTap.com. All right, we have news on the way next. When we return, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there too on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. He joins us every other Thursday, and we had to do a little switcheroo this week with J.R. Radcliffe. And Paul Noonan, JR, is here today. Thank you for being so flexible, JR. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
I'm great, JR.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I bet I know why.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute.
All right, we're going to start off and talk about the Bucks, though, because there's three games left before the end of the regular season?
Two now. Two? Yeah, just two.
I was talking to Jane the other day, and I said, yeah, there's like 2.5 months left in the season, the regular season. I didn't realize it, and I was like, oh no, the season ends next week. Never mind.
It really seems to have gone quickly. I know it's the same amount of games, but it does seem like the regular season is coming to a pretty quick end.
Yeah, I suppose I always say that when the Packers go deep into the postseason, you wind up feeling like everything else is a little more condensed. Baseball gets here sooner. Basketball ends sooner because you've got those extra weeks in the news cycle. And the NCAA tournament was kind of exciting with Marquette and Wisconsin too. So that distracts a little bit. And it's hard if you're a Bucks fan. Like, what do you want the regular season to, oddly enough, to go well where everyone stays healthy because you know you're going into the postseason and you're probably going to be contending for a title. And last year they were the number one seed and they got bounced in the first round and it invalidated in a lot of fans' minds, I'm sure, everything that came before it. So it's sort of like, what are you cheering for the first, you know, 5-6 months when really the stuff that matters is just ahead here and it'll be getting going for the Bucks around April 20th, April 21st when they get into their first round playoff series.
I mean, that's the thing. That's trying to wrap my head around NBA basketball, which I've tried to do specifically for this show and these talks because I don't want to just be like, I don't care. It's very weird because all season long it's been Adrian Griffin isn't good enough. Don't worry about it. The defense is bad. Don't worry about it. They got rid of Adrian Griffin. Oh, better. Doc Rivers. I watched the Tombstone last night. There's always, it seems like this has been a season for Bucks fans of not excuses, but reasons not to worry. And now we're coming to the point of it's just the regular season. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there has been worry because it hasn't clicked to the degree that I think people would have hoped.
Yeah.
The Giannis Damian Lillard thing would click. Now, you have to allow for a certain amount of time for getting comfortable, new coach, new players, new system, et cetera, et cetera. There were some very bad warning signs that indicated maybe they needed to go a different direction. They did. New coach, new system. You know, there is an acclimation period where you can't really trust what you're seeing, but at some point, they have to show, okay, this is a team with three bona fide stars on it, two like future Hall of Famers and a guy who's also very, very good, plus the supplementary pieces, veterans, that are supposed to be making a championship run. Do they look like a team that's going to win a championship? I would argue not. No, they don't. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, again, they just haven't clicked yet. Although these last two games are pretty encouraging. And number two, the Celtics are just so much better than everyone else in the East. Maybe the whole NBA, but definitely the East.
Yeah.
And the Bucks are going to run into them, or any team that wants to get to the NBA Finals, they will have to get through Boston. So that's a little discouraging. Now the Bucks played great against Boston. Weird circumstances, a little bit late in the season where Boston kind of has everything they need wrapped up, but the Bucks beat them handily in a game they absolutely had to have. And the Bucks have had some really bad games that they could have used that they didn't win. So back-to-back nights winning in Orlando after Giannis goes out in that Boston game with pretty bad injury, and not having him available now the rest of the way, winning in Orlando against a team that they are competing with for playoff positioning. That was a huge win on Wednesday night that they absolutely had to have. They got it. There's two more games. They need one more of those, I think, to solidify the number two spot. And then the whole, you know, the regular season will have been, I think, a success. They will have ended up where they probably should have ended up.
Well, mentally, that's got to help them. I would think with, you know, being able to pull off that win without Giannis, that certainly has 100%. To help the confidence level, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it was pretty dubious about how things would go in Orlando or against Orlando. This was the one at home, and they won handily. So that was a very encouraging sign. There is, I think, a very real possibility they're going to have to start the playoffs without Giannis. I don't know for sure. Like, you know, we don't know the depth of that injury, but it isn't exactly crying out, oh, he'll be fine for game one. I don't think mm-hmm. he's going to be fine for game one. Can they win a playoff series without him? I think the answer is yes, because you're going to get a team like Orlando. That's kind of the skill level you're going to be facing off with, maybe even a little bit tougher depending on the matchup. But you've got to know that you can beat teams of that caliber without Giannis. Certainly, that's a good sign. They have to now go face Orlando again on the road in Florida, and Oklahoma City, a team they've beaten, but a team that is among the best in the Western Conference. So these are not cakewalks to finish the year. And again, they really do need one of those wins to lock up the two seed. They could still get in get that spot in a different way if both the Knicks and the Cavs lose, but you don't want to count on other teams losing. So these are very interesting tests without Giannis going into the playoffs.
Our guest is J.R. Radcliffe, sports guru with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's move on to baseball. Today's game got canceled because of rain, correct?
Bummer. Yeah. Isn't it hollow when you wake up expecting day baseball and then the rain washes it out? You've got a team that scored seven runs or more in four straight games, and it's just, oh, sorry, pushing this one to August. Enjoy tomorrow's game.
And Greg was all excited about Christian Yelich.
I mean, JR, the Brewers, they break my heart every season, but man, what a good start. Now, granted, canceled games at the top of this season, not great as well, but I went to opening day. My goodness. That was some strong playing, and my hope is that we continue to see what looks like solid team playing versus just all bats, no pitching, vice versa, that kind of thing. The only thing I'm going to ask you, your advice as an expert, as a guru, how will they break my heart in the next month?
Let me tell you exactly how, Greg. Here's how it's going to go.
Here's how they're going to hurt you, Greg.
Yeah.
There's still, I would say, pretty significant concern about the pitching being unsustainable. I know I said this last time, but, you know, they right now, let's say Wade Miley can actually go six innings, which I think is asking a lot. That's just, he's usually a guy who's out by that point. Mm-hmm. But you've got two starting pitchers that you can really, really rely on. And then I guess Colin Ray is almost a third. Colin Ray has done really well. So I constantly sort of overlook him, but he has really evolved into a pretty important part of their rotation. But that's three guys that you can be comfortable, can get you five, maybe six innings in a given night. I would say that I wouldn't feel comfortable that any of them can get into the seventh. Now, Joe Ross just did. Maybe he's a He's a possibility. DL Hall's a possibility. They have guys who might be able to do that, but it still doesn't feel like a complete picture. And the amount of work you've had to rely on from your bullpen, I feel like there's a cliff. At some point, everybody's going to kind of fall off of it at once. Yeah. Now, I could be wrong about that. You know, they piece it together just long enough to get to the part of the season where another starting pitcher maybe is ready from their farm system. Maybe Robert Gasser is healthy finally again, or somebody that we haven't even thought of. I don't know. Like, it's possible. I will say this, Greg. The offense, man, I think it's legitimately very, very good. It is a small sample, but there are signs here that it's really good. And Christian Yelich, you know what he's doing is he's hitting sliders, like, out of the ballpark. Many times over, even when he was at his best, that was a challenge for him.
Yeah.
This is not just a flash in the pan. Christian Yelich is on a level that we have not seen. Now, I don't think he's 2019 Christian Yelich. I don't think that, and no one should think that. However, we haven't seen him quite this good, and he was pretty good last year. Yeah. This is as good as we have seen him. So I think that's really, really encouraging, and the offense as a whole has been really, really encouraging.
I think for me, the big thing is looking back at the scores here. You know, there's a lot of 5-6, 7-6, 2-3, and a lot of those games where the Brewers come out with a nice big lead and then just let go of those hits over and over and over again. And we manage to keep some of them or we lose them. I mean, just like the Mariners just absolutely step on us. What I'm trying to say here, like, we got crushed by one of them. Oh yeah. No, sorry, we're doing well. We're doing better than I thought. I thought that we had gotten just absolutely trounced by a team. Oh, the Twins hit us 7-3. And then we come, but then we come back and we, like, the Reds hit us 10-8, and it's just the inconsistency. That's the thing I'm always worried about.
Well, I would point to that 10-8 game and say that's a triumph for the Brewers. They were down 8-0, and they came back within one run. It was 9-8 at one point. And yeah, they played poor defense. They didn't have a good game, but consistency in Major League Baseball is pretty elusive. You know, you're never going to have a team that just puts up 6 runs a night, pitches and only allows 3 at worst. Like, that just, it just isn't possible. So
why not, JR?
The consistency you hope for is just, I mean, just overall solid play, solid play. And that will manifest itself in a number of wins. What the Brewers have done so far, it's beyond reproach. I think thus far, the problem is it's a really small sample. I would say that I'm not confident that they can still win 90 games. I'm not confident that they're a 90 win baseball team, but you know, you get through April playing like this. And even if you fall back in May or June or whatever, you've already banked a really nice start. I mean, at some point this becomes wins that they're not going to give back. It doesn't matter what happens next. And they are that much closer to being a 90 win baseball team, which is a solid playoff team.
JR always makes me feel better.
See, now you talked him off the ledge, JR. We really appreciate that. Journal Sentinel sports guru JR Radcliffe is here talking all things sports balls. I did want to talk a little bit about the really impressive ratings for the women's games in the NCAA tournament. That was a beautiful thing.
It was really incredible. Yeah, 18 million people, more than almost 19, more than what the men's game drew, the men's championship game drew on Monday night. Apples, oranges. You're talking about a Sunday afternoon versus Monday, whatever. That's just uncommon. And it was a perfect storm for the women's basketball tournament. You had a star that everyone was following. Her team made it to the championship game against an undefeated powerhouse team that has a really likable, relatable coach who has had a ton of success. It was just everything kind of fell into place, and the women's game has sort of cultivated some real star power, some players that are going to be back next year. They lose a lot of them. You know, Paige Beckers out of Connecticut was kind of a star even before she set foot on campus. And obviously Caitlin Clark developed into what she is. Angel Reese with LSU, you know, those players won't be back next year, but there is a movement here. You know, this isn't just, well, it was all perfect and it's going to go back down to square zero or square one next year. It's not like that. There is a steady improvement. WNBA has seen this. There's been more interest, more better ratings, better just presence in the zeitgeist. That's not going to go down when Caitlin Clark becomes a member of the Indiana Fever. You know, that draft is coming up here. She's going to be the number one overall pick and take a franchise that's, you know, in middle America. And, you know, that they're going to sell out, you know, they're going to sell that place out over and over again. So This is really different. I have not experienced this before. There's always been sort of two playing fields, and it's not like that anymore. I think yes, it's super encouraging. It's definitely a new frontier with women's sports doing as well as it has.
Well, and I just think of all the generations now of young girls who are so inspired and so fired up, and that just I just think that's a wonderful thing. It is.
I know.
It's just a great thing.
I'm seeing. Oh, go on, JR.
No, I was just, I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of people, I have a son and a daughter, and I love watching those games with my daughter so she can see what's out there. My son gets into them too. You know, he loves screaming ankles at the TV as Caitlin Clark takes somebody out. He loves doing that, you know?
I just like seeing coming across my feed on TikTok or Instagram reels. I'm now seeing women's basketball coming through, women's rugby, women's soccer, all these
volleyball,
all these sports coming into my feed because, oh, I like this video. And now I'm getting exposed to these players and learning about them. And I have a friend of mine who is a diehard women's soccer fan, and she likes to talk about it. And I'm learning as she's talking. So it's wonderful. I love it.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing all the way around.
Yeah. And for a long time, chicken or the egg thing, media outlets, you know, the one I work for included or any newspaper. It's like, well, we could write about that, but there isn't a big enough audience to justify that.
Yeah.
That was sort of the mentality. And I think what we're finding is, I don't think that's true. I think the audience is there. It's just about creating more opportunities to meet that audience. And we're finding, yeah, people are into it. You know, it's not as good for us because we don't have many home teams. We don't have a WNBA team, but it's still a huge, huge improvement.
He joins us every other Thursday, the Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you so very much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. See you then.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. You make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven for too long. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you for joining us wherever you are listening, across the state, across the country, around the globe. You can always download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps, and then you can listen to all the stations across the state, all of the different shows. The Civic Media app is completely free, so make sure you take advantage of that. Very excited to have our next guest with us. Nomi Serrano is the regional coordinator with WeWick and is leading the WeWick Milwaukee Urban Ag Network. Nomi, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We have spoken to a couple of people from the Wisconsin Women in Conversation Group, which conservation, which is WeWick. But if you want to quickly tell us, what is the goal of WeWick? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, Wisconsin Women in Conservation, more commonly referred to as WeWick, is a women's only project that's funded by NRCS and led by Michael Fields, which I work for. It's a 5-year project focused on bringing together women to network and learn about conservation practices, funding, and different resources available.
Now, you have an urban agricultural workshop that is next Tuesday, April 16th. It's going to be held at the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center on Walnut Street from 1 to 3:30. The event is for all urban growers. So are you looking for just people who are growing veggies in their backyards?
Anyone. If you are already growing something, if you haven't started growing something but you're interested, any women that's interested in urban agriculture or just farming in general is welcome to attend.
Well, because it's a little bit more complicated, I think, and I do some gardening. I've killed many things over the years. That is part of the learning process.
Me too.
Definitely.
But if you're really going to do this seriously, there's a lot more to it than just sticking things in a pot. You need to check the soil. You need to check what pH levels and all those kinds of things are involved too, right, Nomi?
Yeah, definitely. And I think these types of events are great for that. It's a great space to ask questions, to hear from other growers, to hear from conservation professionals, For most of our events, we connect with NRCS, which is the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS. We will have two folks from NRCS at our event who will be able to answer a lot of questions around growing and different conservation practices that you can implement, as well as different resources available to folks. And then also, these are women-only events. So one of the things that we love to do is have everyone introduce themselves, share a bit about their farm, their garden, all of that. So it's also a really great space to connect with other women landowners, women farmers, or just conservation enthusiasts who can also share a lot of resources and experience and do that as well.
And I just think that there is so much, I mean, obviously people who work with the soil and work with growing things, they know firsthand about conservation practices because they would like to continue their livelihood. So that is everything from smart water usage, right? And reclamation of water and maybe, you know, rain barrels and things like that, Nomi?
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that can be implemented for sure.
Nomi Serrano is the regional coordinator with WWIC, that is Wisconsin Women in Conservation. She's also leading the WWIC Milwaukee Urban Ag Network, and they're having an Urban Ag Workshop next Tuesday, April 16th, 1 to 3:30 at the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center, which is 325 West Walnut Street. It is free, and there are snacks.
What?
Yes, definitely.
You had me agriculture and snacks.
Yes. Nomi, if people would like to, do they need to register in advance? I suppose that would make it much easier for you.
Yes. Yeah, folks can register at wewic.org. We have an events tab. You can click it there and our event will pop up. There's also a lot of other great events happening across Wisconsin.
I will make sure that after today's show, the show notes, we will have a direct link to that event so people can click right through when you download the episode, which will be available on civicmedia.us. That will be all there in the show notes.
What I love about events like this too, Nomi, is that there are no silly questions, right?
Right.
Everything is, any question is valid. And I don't, in a space like this, it's a safe space. So you, if you ask a question, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to laugh at you. They're, you know, it's questions are good.
Yes.
Exactly. They are welcomed. Yes, definitely.
And what got you interested in doing this? Have you always been a gardener, or did you grow up on a farm, or what's your experience like, Nomi?
I did not, but my grandpa on my mom's side is a farmer, and I grew up spending summers visiting him and seeing his farm and all of that.
Did you have to do chores?
Not really. Not in the farm.
Here I was imagining at 5:30 in the morning, get up. We're
doing the cows.
Gotta work.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great thing. The more women that we get involved and the more women who are interested in natural resources and conservation practices, it's just going to be better for all of us.
Agreed.
So make plans to attend the Urban Agriculture Workshop next Tuesday, April 16th, 1 to 3:30 p.m., the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center, 325 West Walnut Street. Nomi Serrano has been our guest with WWIC. I hope it's a great success, Nomi. Thank you so very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a wonderful day. Stay with us. News is coming up in just a little bit, and then that will be followed by the one and only, the Todd Father.
The Todd Father.
Todd Alba's show from noon to 2 p.m., followed by Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m., so I hope you can stick around for that.
Can I just take a moment?
Yeah.
Our midday on Civic Media is packed. It's heavy hitters. Just bam, bam, bam. What's up? What's up?
No need to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Keep it right here. All right. Thank you so very much, Calvin and Greg. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for calling and for texting and leaving comments on the live stream. It genuinely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.